Speaking of the Lord's blessing, let us turn back to the portion of Scripture that we read together, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and we'll read at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Within the spiritual realm, there are two opposite forces or principles that are always battling. There is the principle of faith and the principle of unbelief. Wherever there is true faith, there will also be unbelief. And unbelief can show itself in various ways. For instance, by denying the Bible, the Word of God, or rejecting the person and work of Jesus Christ, and other ways as well. And the reason why we should consider this is that we find in this very chapter these words, without faith, it is impossible to please God. To put it in a more direct and perhaps striking manner is that without faith we perish eternally. Jesus was rejected by the people of Nazareth, his own hometown, and it is recorded for us, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Therefore, this matter of faith is important. And it is one that the apostle raises in this epistle a number of times. For instance, in chapter 4, the apostle exhorts the people, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, yet is here lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. And the great question for us today is, have I and you entered into rest with God? That is, are we at peace with God? We have been given the gospel. We have heard the good news. But can we say today that we have profited from the gospel? That we have received the benefits that the gospel offers? That our sins have been forgiven, that we have been reconciled to God, that we have peace with God? Or is it true of you today that you have not received any benefit or profited in any way from the gospel? And if so, why? Well, the problem is not with the gospel, but with yourself. For after hearing it, you have not believed it. Or as Hebrews 4 says, it has not been mixed with faith. You have heard it, but it has not been mixed with faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, the apostle refers to that great statement from Habakkuk, now the just shall live by faith. And he uses that as a springboard from which he goes on to say in chapter 11, gives us a definition of faith in the first three verses of this chapter. And he expounds the whole way through chapter 11, the whole issue of the Christian life of faith. Now, there are a number of things that we can note before we look at our text more closely. The first is that the writer's selection of these people is not done at random, but there is a clear order in his selection. The first three names, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, are people who lived before the flood, although Noah entered into the new era after the flood. Secondly, there were men who virtually stood alone for their faith in their own time. It was not an easy time for them, as the chapter declares. There was always this constant battle between faith and unbelief. And this can be seen so clearly today, the case we shall consider as we consider the case of Abel and his brother Cain. What is striking here is that the hatred that unbelief shows to true faith, so much so that unbelieving Cain killed his true believing brother. First John exhorts us to love for one another. There we are told, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So we are not to be surprised that the world would hate us. We should never be surprised at the hatred that the world, living in unbelief, is showing, even to the point of persecution and death of believers. Unbelief is a total denial of what is believed by the Lord's people, by Christians. Now, thirdly, Abel was the first person to die in this world. So that means that the first person who died in this world was a child of God. Not only was he the first person to die and the first child of God to die in this world, he was also the first martyr who died for the truth. And fourthly, although death had entered into the experience of mankind, Abel is evidence for us that one can have victory over death, because Abel died and in faith. He died in faith. Now, today we shall consider two of these men of faith, and although there is much that could be said about each one of them, our focus will be as follows. This morning we shall look at Abel and our approach to God, the lessons that we can learn from Abel in our approach to God. And in the evening we'll look at Noah, who was saved from judgment, or who was saved from the flood. So this morning we shall begin with Abel and our approach to God. It is a good thing to read the Word of God. It is a good thing to hear the Gospel, but they are only means that should lead us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not trust in the means itself for salvation, because our salvation is only to be found resting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If the gospel is to be profitable to us, and if we are to benefit from the gospel, then we must seek to progress to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is like a hand that reaches out to take what God presents, or like the mouth which takes in what God has provided. We must remember it is not faith that saves, but the person upon whom faith rests. So that having faith, whether our faith is weak or strong, it does not impinge or affect in any way our salvation or our standing before God. It may indeed affect the comfort or the assurance that we have it, but it does not alter our salvation, because our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So a person can have a weak faith or a strong faith, but that does not affect the person's salvation, because our salvation is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must not sit and take comfort that we are hearers of the gospel, and some do, but we must not sit and take comfort that we are hearers of the gospel unless we are assured that we have benefited from the gospel by having received the blessings that the gospel brings before us, the blessings of forgiveness for our sins, the blessing of peace with God, the blessing of being reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith is not only the instrument that riches and takes hold of God's provision for sinners in Christ. But it is also the power that makes the redeemed sinner to persevere. The faith which is implanted in the soul by the Holy Spirit gives the believer the power to continue in spite of all the difficulties and all the trials of life. However, in verse 4, the writer is not telling us of Abel coming to saving faith. Rather, he is telling us about the ministry of a man of God who already possesses saving faith. This man already has faith, and his faith enables him to do what is recorded for us in this chapter. What we have here are the effects of faith in the life of Abel, and that focuses especially upon his approach and his worship of God. Both Cain and Abel came to worship. The scene is described for us in the book of Genesis, chapter 4. Both men came before God, and both men brought offerings. Both men are there for worship, but only Abel's worship is accepted because it alone was offered in faith. And that is, and it is this point of faith by which Abel approached God, which is the key issue in the whole matter now that is here brought before us in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Here we have a sinner approaching God in worship, and we are told that he does so by faith or in faith. Abel, in faith, he obeyed the divine revelation. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we are told, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith must have a foundation on which to stand, and that foundation is brought before us as being the divine word of God, or the word of Christ. In other words, Abel did not come to worship God in accordance with his own feeling, or by his own inventions, or saying this is a better way of worshipping God. That is exactly what Cain did. His worship was man-centered and man-invented. But Abel comes to worship God in accordance with God's revealed will. See, God is jealous regarding his worship, and the Bible in many ways brings that principle before us. Sometimes if we are out of God's appointed way of worship, it can result with dire consequences. For instance, when the two sons of Aaron came to offer incense before the Lord with what is termed strange fire, that is not in the appointed way, with fire taken from the altar of burnt offering, we are told that the earth swallowed them up. We are told in this book itself to worship God with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire, that is, our God is pure, our God is holy. So Abel came in faith, and in doing so, he was coming in accordance with the divine revelation. He was coming in accordance with the revealed will of God. And that revealed will of God was already made known to Adam and Eve, their parents, as recorded for us in Genesis 3. There was a promise of Genesis 3:15, and God taught them how this promise would be fulfilled through death or the shedding of blood by instituting a sacrificial system of worship. We are told there in Genesis that the man, that is Adam, called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, and he called her Eve by faith. He was exercising faith on the promise that was given to him, that of the seed of the woman, that salvation or redemption that would be brought. And exercising faith upon that promise, he named his wife before was just known as woman. It was after the promise been given and after exercising faith on that promise that the woman was given a name. And he called her Eve, because it was through her that life was going to come, because she was the mother of all living. And then we are told that the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. God himself made the first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden. And then he was teaching Adam and his wife, Adam and Eve, the way that they were now to approach him. It was through the shedding of blood. And obviously, the pain is passed on to their children, so that Cain was not ignorant of the gospel. Cain knew the gospel. He was shown the way of faith and the way of approach to God, just as his brother Abel was. But the tragedy is that Cain rejected it. Now, you are here today, and there is every possibility that your parents passed the message of the gospel on to you. And perhaps even you yourselves have passed it on to your children. So that you are not ignorant of the gospel. You have been taught the way of faith. You have been taught the necessity of faith to approach God and to benefit from his salvation. But the tragedy is that you, like Cain, have rejected it all. Perhaps even after teaching it to your children, the example that you are showing them is an example of rejecting the gospel message. Abel had God's mind and will made known to him. And in faith, he obeyed the divine revelation. There is one of the chief evidence of true faith, that is obedience in what God has revealed. We read the expression, the obedience of faith, in various places in the Bible. For instance, in Romans chapter 16, there we read regarding the spread of the gospel. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. In other words, we preach the gospel in order to bring about the obedience of faith. In other words, this revelation has been made known to us by God for the obedience of faith. That's why the Lord gave us the gospel. That is why we go out to preach the gospel, in order to bring a people to the obedience of faith. The gospel is not preached for entertainment or to pass an hour or so, but to bring the sinner to the obedience of faith. That's the purpose of the gospel, to bring the sinner to obedience of faith. And through faith, accept what God has revealed. The person accepts that what God has revealed is true. It will embrace and stand upon that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. The thought here is of the Lord said, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Is that is a reference to people who hear the truth and they stand in their own way in the sense of that they don't believe it, they reject it. As the authorized version has it, those that oppose themselves, they are opposed to it. And in being opposed to the truth, they are opposing themselves in the sense of benefiting in any way from that truth. They stand in their own way in receiving the blessings that the truth would bring to them. Every unbeliever is standing in his or her own way of being blessed by God, being saved, of having eternal life, of having your sins forgiven, of being reconciled to God, of having peace with God. Isaiah says that unbelievers are like sheep that goes astray, each turning to his own way. And today, you cannot blame God or anyone else for not receiving the blessings that the truth would bring to you, the blessings that the gospel would bring to you, the forgiveness of your sin, reconciliation to God, having peace with God. The one who stands in the way of receiving all the covenant blessings of God is yourself. You cannot blame God. You cannot blame anyone else. It is you yourself who is standing in the way of receiving those blessings. Those who oppose themselves are to be instructed, it says, with gentleness. Why? Well, the text in Timothy goes on to say, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Be gentle with them. Although they oppose the truth, be gentle with them, because God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Repentance and faith acknowledges the truth, because repentance and faith always goes together. And they are both evidence of obedience to what God has revealed. If a person says that he has repented of his sin and still lives in his sin, he hasn't repented, for repentance is a turning away from sin. And this is what distinguishes Cain from Abel. Cain rejected the divine revelations, therefore he did not have saving faith. But Abel had saving faith, and it is evident in his obedience to what God has revealed. So we find that true faith always obeys divine revelation. It always obeys the truth. But he also obeys the divine requirement. See, it says here, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. It was more excellent and more acceptable sacrifice, for it was that which God had appointed as the basis of his approach to him. Therefore, Abel not merely obeyed divine revelation, he heard the word and he obeyed it, but he obeyed the divine requirement that was made known in that divine revelation, in that truth. What was that divine requirement? It was that if a man approaches God to worship him, he must come on the basis of the blood. That is the divine requirement. He must come on the basis of blood, because without the shedding of blood, says the Bible, there is no forgiveness. He must come on the basis of that sacrifice, of that pouring out of blood, that satisfies divine justice. Now this is where Cain went all wrong. In his pride, he came before God bringing the works of his own hands. It says that he came with the offering of the fruit of the ground. He came with the product of what he had done. He tilled the ground, he sowed the seed, he had grown his crops, and he came with those before God. Now, there was nothing wrong with the fruit of the ground that Cain offered. What was wrong is that the offering was done in unbelief and disobedience, for he was rejecting God's appointed way of approach. And therefore, Cain was rejected, not only then, but eternally. In the book of Jude, we read about those who go in the way of Cain. Who are they? Those who reject the gospel. Those who reject the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Those who reject the blood of the sacrifice that God has appointed. And they come upon their own inventions, upon their own basis. They come in pride, believing that they have something that should give them or commend them to God. But actually, it is the pride of the human heart in believing that they are able to do something that will please God, that will earn His favor. And in making their approach to God, they are therefore rejecting not only what God has revealed, but what God has required. That is why they are rejected. That is why Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Yes, he had labored hard. He had sweated over it. But he came and presented to God in unbelief. And therefore, his sacrifice was not accepted. He came, really, we can put it like this, he came with his own words. He came with his own words, rejecting the atoning work of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have to approach God in obedience to the divine revelation, but also in obedience to the divine requirement. They both came with a sacrifice to God's appointed place, which I believe would have been at the entrance of the garden where there was the cherubim with the flaming sword. For Abel, he was coming in faith, all this would have a true meaning for him. Why, for Cain, it would have just been a matter of form and nothing else. For Abel, in coming here to the cherubim with the flaming sword, he is acknowledging that God is just and holy, symbolized by the flaming sword, and that God must punish sin. He is acknowledging that he is guilty. He is acknowledging that he deserves divine retribution. At the same time, you know, he is also acknowledging that God is merciful, that God provides the substitute and will accept the death of the substitute as the ransom price for deliverance, and that is through the shedding of blood that a sinner can have access to God, that his sins can be forgiven, that he can have peace with God and be reconciled to God. Abel obeys. He obeys what God has revealed and what God requires. But Cain refuses at all. He comes with his bloodless offering. He did not believe that he was lost and condemned. He believed that he had some goodness in himself. He believed that there was value in what he did in terms of bringing his offering to God or the fruit of the ground. He believed that he did not need a substitute to die for him or to ransom him. He did not believe any of that, and because he did not believe any of that, Cain was refused. But Abel came, and he believed that he needed a substitute. He came, as we are told there, that he came with the firstling of the flock. He came with God's appointed way of approach to him. He came with the lamb. He killed the lamb. He shed its blood. That was the way of approach to God, by means of a substitute, by the means of the pouring of blood. Abel's faith, we are told, obtained witness or a testimony. For here we read, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel was giving a witness that he was righteous. He obtained witness that he was a justified person and righteous before God, that his sins had been forgiven, that he had been reconciled to God, that he had peace with God. In what way did God bear witness to Abel that he was righteous? The offering that Abel brought, God accepted it by fire. And that's the pattern of the Old Testament. Whenever men brought their offerings to the Lord, you will read quite often of God sending fire to consume the offering. And we are told that he obtained witness. In other words, somebody gave him the testimony that he was righteous. And who gave him that testimony? Who was it that could give him that testimony? It could only be God. And how did God give him that testimony? By accepting the sacrifice. The fire fell upon the sacrifice, we are told in Genesis, and consumed. Therefore, the person who puts his faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, the person who trusts on the atoning work of Jesus Christ, can also have a testimony that that person is a righteous person, because on the cross the fire that should have fallen upon us have fallen upon the substitute. Christ's sacrifice being accepted by God. So what is the sum then of the whole lesson that we have here? Well, it is this question, that our approach to God can only be on the basis of a sacrifice that has been accepted by God. That our approach to God must be through the shedding of blood. And the sacrifice that has been accepted by God, the shedding of blood that has been accepted by God, is that of His own Son, Jesus Christ. It is by faith that Abel's offering was accepted. Now, that faith of Abel looked forward years and years, generations and generations, down to the cross of Golgotha, down to where the promise given by God in the Garden of Eden would be fulfilled in the seed of the woman, and that was Jesus Christ. Abel's faith was founded on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The same place as mine and yours must be if we are going to receive any benefit of salvation. So to you today the gospel is being preached. To you today you are hearing the gospel. To you today and for many years you have been hearing about God's provision for sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ. You have been told that that's the only sacrifice that is acceptable to God, through which we can approach God, through which we can receive salvation, be reconciled to God, go to heaven, have our sins forgiven. But the question is, how have you responded? Have you responded by like Abel? Have you come by faith, trusting and believing that revelation? Or are you like Cain, still thinking that there is something good in you in which you will find favour with God, that you do not need this Jesus Christ at all? You don't need this cross of Golgotha at all. There is something good in me, and God will show me favour. My friend, be not deceived. This is the only way of approach to God. This is the only way of reconciliation. This is the only way of having your sins forgiven, is to trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There is salvation in no other way. Follow the example of Abel, who came and approached God by faith in the substitute through the shedding of blood. May the Lord bless our thoughts.